Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time, number nine, look lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Chandler Rome does a podcast called Crush City Territory. And he's kind of outside of when Bob Nightingale pops off of a sudden. If you're looking for news regarding the Astros, he's the one you go to. He writes for The Athletic, does that podcast, and he dropped some info on Jake Meyers. Apparently, Jake Meyers more highly thought of outside of Houston than he is by some of the fan base. Here's Chandler Rome on the potential for Jake Meyers to not be an Astro next season.
Well, I'm here to tell you that there are a couple of trade pieces in the outfield. One of them, probably the guy with the most value is Jake Meyers. And friend of the podcast, Matt Gelb, who covers the Philadelphia Phillies for The Athletic, in a story that he wrote on Saturday, mentioned that the Phillies really like Jake Meyers and that he is a name to kind of file away as maybe someone that the Phillies will call on. I reported at the GM meetings that the Astros have been getting a lot of calls on Jake Meyers, and this is not a new thing. Teams were calling on Jake Meyers when he was not producing because he's always been an exit velo darling, a savant darling, if you will, just with the tools he has, the speed, the defense. He just really hasn't put it all together, and then we saw him put it all together this year. His value has never been higher. I think, honestly, if the Astros get the right package, it would behoove them to seriously consider moving Jake Meyers now, because he will never be this sought after ever again. Even, you know, you can't count on him replicating what he did last year, but even if he does go out next year and plays for the Astros and has the same sort of year, well, he has one less year of club control left, and that inherently is going to decrease his value. He has never been as valuable as he is right now. I think if the Astros are talking about, if we take Dana at his word, which we have no reason not to, if we take him at his word and he says we need to have some conversations about some outfield pieces that could be trade candidates, Jake Meyers is the top of the list.
Chandler Rome from, I just said the name, Crush City Territory, City Territory. Jake Meyers, a darling. Didn't know that for word with his name would ever be said in a sentence, but there's some value for Jake Meyers. So what do you do? Cam Smith, who Dana Brown said is not guaranteed a spot, is part of that outfield thought. Left field, of course. Yordan, when he could play out there, Altuve. You got a bunch of guys you probably wouldn't want to play left field, but you may have to. I thought the infield was where they're going to have to make a move because of all the guys, all the pieces. But we heard earlier this offseason that Paredes ain't going anywhere. Christian Walker ain't going anywhere. So it looks like it'll be maybe Jake Meyers because of the value. I won't call it overvalue. Let the Phillies love him if they so choose.
Yeah, I do think it's a big, like, if you don't have a center fielder, you look at Jake Meyers, you're like, let's go.
Yeah.
Because it's like a name you can write into center field 100 times a summer. I will say for the – and I understand the value part, and I don't really disagree with the value part. That, hey, do you think Jake Meyers is going to have the same year that he just had? Probably not.
Nope.
Going back to if you need a center fielder, I get why Jake Myers is.
But won't the Astros need a center fielder?
Yes. That is my follow-up question is, all right, now who plays center field for the Astros? Maybe the answer is Zach Cole.
Maybe.
Feels like a lot to.
Are they making room for Zach Cole to be your everyday center fielder?
But it feels like it's a lot. I mean, the guy had a good, what, 15 games at the end of the season? 10?
Exactly 15. He played 15 games.
Wow. Look at me. Seam head Sean.
Look at you.
Yeah, like what are we doing there? Like what's the center field answer now? Is it going to be a mix of Dubon and Cole? Is that what we're doing? Like that to me is the only question. Like as far as just in a vacuum getting rid or not getting rid, but selling high on Jake Myers makes perfect sense. Like he's a guy you're not going to sign to his next contract.
He's
Chandler lays it out
old.
Where you know, you're only going to lose more control on him and get less in a trade. So, yeah, I mean, I would at least look. Maybe that's how you get one of these starting pitchers that we talk about them needing, at least two. Maybe you flip Jake Myers for, you know, an equivalent arm and you trust the Astros pitching lab to maximize that. But I don't really have any, like, strong. It's just like, yeah, sure, makes sense. This is the type of stuff your GM should be doing.
All the things Chandler Rome laid out makes a lot of sense. For a team who will tell you their aspiration is always to go win a World Series, I'm hard pressed to say Jake Myers is the difference between not winning one and winning one, but I don't want to get worse as a team. So who, of course, for me, that's why the thought of, is Zach Cole ready to be your everyday center fielder, whoever you choose? Or will Jake Myers warrant an everyday player or pitcher, not some minor league talent who isn't ready? So just the thought that maybe Jake Myers, who we thought had survived, once again, is now so valuable that the Astros can recoup some of that value from someone and improve maybe their roster or their minor league system.
He made a huge mistake. He played well, and now he has value around the league. what an idiot.
Stupid Jake Myers.
Played well. What the hell? Now you guys have to live in Philadelphia, and people are going to be way meaner about the way you play. Even in Houston, all you have to do is not get on Twitter. You won't really notice that people are upset at you.
The Astros did make a move to unclog up their infield. They designated Ramon Urias for assignment, so he is out of here. And then there's also a pitching prospect that benefits from it on their 40-man. So a guy who was valuable for them last year, but as I said, there's a glut of infielders. He was in that utility role, much like Dubon. Dubon has more utility. He can go play in the outfield. So Urias goes, and I don't know if I like it. I liked him here last year.
Yeah. It was one of those things where you see again, this isn't like an earth-shattering move, but it is something where you see the tweet come across, and you're like, oh, okay. didn't know that was really on the table. But, yeah, I have to imagine it'll be, you know, snapped up pretty quick. Not, you know, a bidding war or anything, but imagine.
He's 31. I mean,
he should be on an MLB team somewhere.
Yeah. Of course, he's a light hitting infielder, but that's his role. He played defense, be able to fill spots, and he did a nice job here as
Dubon's just like,
but Dubon
more job security.
Yeah, Dubon continues. Speaking of guys who survive, but rightfully so, Dubon won another Gold Glove. This offseason, so he remains. Urias does not, and maybe the Astros will be making moves. Although I wouldn't really call Jake Myers a Jake Myers trade on the margins. He's just starting center fielder.
Yeah.
But moves that aren't earth-shaking, but you're trying to improve in different ways and smaller ways, so they all come together to improve you as a whole.
Yeah.
And maybe Jake Myers leads to something that strengthens the roster, particularly pitching, like you brought up. So we'll see how that goes. But just be aware, if something comes across your timeline and you see Jake Myers traded, apparently you shouldn't be surprised that someone wanted him, is what I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's good. He's good enough, you know. I can see why you sell high on him. But it's a weird thing where I think if you trade for him, I'm like, yeah, I see why the team wants, you know, Team X wants to trade for Jake Meyers. And also, if I'm the Astros, I see why you wanted to trade Jake Meyers, or why, like, it makes sense on the spreadsheet why you trade him. Then comes my next question of who plays center field. But, you know, can Smith play center? I guess not.
Cam Smith, who Dana Brown
played right field for the first time?
Yeah. So we just
oh, yeah. And then
Dana Brown says no guarantees with him. But we'll hear from Joe Spada when we come back, since you mentioned Cam Smith.
Yeah.
While Dana Brown was more, let's say, the business is the business when it comes to players. When it came to Cam Smith, hey, he proves himself, sure, but we ain't going to just give him a spot. Joe Spada had a softer touch when asked. He was on MLB Network, so we'll hear from Joe Spada when we come back on Cam Smith. And then we'll get back into the Texans. We'll kind of tell you what the latest is on them if you missed it from this morning or even earlier in the show. And also, we still got a pair of tickets, Cougs versus TCU, the Cougs' final game of the season as they try to get the 9-2 on their way to 10-2. We'll do that when we come back. But first, before we go to break, I want to talk to you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Billy Brown's doing this. If you don't know who that is, he's the owner of Aqueduct Plumbing Company, and he's doing something for you. If you need a repipe, which is a big job, understood. But if you have an older house, that is something you should take a look at. Houses that have been that were built and they're now 40 years old or so, if you fit into that category, maybe even older than that, the pipes eventually are just going to give way. And you don't want to be in the middle of anything and it catches you unaware. So you want to be a little bit preventative, and Billy Brown will do that for you. They do a great job repiping. They've done over thousands of those. And you know what they'll do? They'll throw in a water heater, a traditional one. So maybe your water heater's older as well. Maybe you're looking at that along with the repiping. You get the two-in-one thing from them. So check out all the things they do at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. So the repipe's a big job, but maybe it's a smaller job. Maybe you got a remodel that you're looking at. Maybe it's a leak that you can't fix. Leaks can turn into major problems if you don't take care of them. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will do that for you. So that website is aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And no matter what the job is, you'll get that free price quote. You don't know what the problem is, but you certainly don't want to be charged for it. They'll take care of it for you. They'll take a look, figure out what it is, and then they'll set you up. If you want to call them, the number is 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company at aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Now back to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we had a caller earlier who wanted to get off an Aggie joke, and he told the intern one thing and did another. You don't have to trick the interns. You know the show doesn't have standards. If you just want to say what you want to say, you don't have to pretend with the intern. Look, if you want to take us down a road that hits us with a surprise, I get that part of it, but if you have something you want to talk about and you don't think the screener will let you on if you don't tell them the truth, don't worry about it. We have a standard, which is none.
Yeah.
Just tell them what you want to talk about.
A lot of times I don't even ask.
Yeah, hey, like, what's your name?
Your name. I'm good.
Yeah.
We can roll with whatever.
Yeah, don't worry about it. This show kind of.
Yeah, other shows I don't do that. This show.
Yeah. Some shows will take offense. This yeah. one will not. Let's hear from Joe Spada here. Get back to some serious stuff. He's in the clip. He's talking about Cam Smith. He's on MLB Network talking about his how he decides and interacts with young players and their development. And certainly the Astros high on Cam Smith is one of the reasons they started him coming out of spring training. There are some ups and downs, as you might imagine. But Spada's not worried. He knows it's just part of the process. Here's Joe Spada.
You need to have two things when it comes to young players. For me, is you need to have give them time and you need to be patient. We cannot rush those two things, right? I think if we put Cam in a position for him to succeed and give him time, he has the work ethic. He has the ability to do it. but we need to give this process some time. This is just going to be his sophomore year in the big leagues, and I think his freshman year was a solid season. Is it more in there? Absolutely, but you know, he barely played minor league baseball. He came into camp. He won a spot. We believe in him. We believe in his ability to be a right fielder for the future. But we just need to allow him to learn the league. He came out on the bat really well. And the league, what happens? The league's going to adjust to you. And he just needs to figure out a way to adjust to the league and what they're trying to do on the offensive side. And we, you know, he is going to be able to do that. My job is to continue to provide an environment where he could be himself. He can continue to develop to the players that we know he can be, and just be patient. This kid's going to be a star, and I'm just super excited about the future, what holds up for him.
So Cam Smith isn't unique, particularly in right field. People were questioning giving Kyle Tucker the grace he was given to figure stuff out. But in a world where the team tells you they're always competing, can you deal with the ups and downs like a team, let's say the Pirates could with Cam Smith, where he's struggling, but he's going to play as long as he's healthy because he's one of those guys that you believe in. If he is a hole in the lineup for a team who expects to have a good lineup this year, as long as guys can stay healthy, I respect the words of a spot. I believe that's what he wants. It just is different, I think, when the games matter. If you're in the middle of a stretch where you're not playing well, can you give Cam Smith the leeway to figure things out if you're trying to stay attached to the Mariners or whoever the hell is leading the AL West? Or maybe you're leading it. You want to hold them off. So the Astros, I think, certainly when I think about the roster right now, he would be the one guy, unless there's a Zach Cole playing center, if Jake Myers is traded, where you're talking about inexperienced, you love the talent, we're just going to let him figure it out, even maybe at the cost of team success.
Developmental minutes, yes. Like in basketball.
Yes, we're just going to, look, he's going to, like in basketball, he'll make mistakes, he'll turn the ball over, but we know it's best for his long-term future and the team's long-term future. You would think there's enough around him, as I said, as they stay healthy, where there could be a guy who simply struggles until he figures it out. But does the pressure of a season and wins and losses change how they do things? So I do like the approach, but you know the old saying, everyone's got a plan until you go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts.
That is how the saying goes.
Yeah, that's Mike Tyson was very into baseball.
He was. Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made. Last year, it's kind of a double-edged sword because it was a very competitive race. A lot of that was due to the amount of injuries they had.
Yeah.
But because they had the amount of injuries they had, they really couldn't take Cam Smith out of the lineup because you would be going to a AAA player. Yeah, you would be getting worse there. So I can see how they want to play it like, hey, maybe he needs a little bit more seasoning, and if that's in Sugarland, like, there's no point in him being on the bench in Houston. Might as well have him play in Sugarland. I also think there might be a little bit of Dana Brown, Joe Espada, not like full-on trying to light a fire under him, but just like, hey, you know, giving it lip service of, you got to earn your spot, kid, of, you know, what, like we said, there's not going to be entitlement minutes here. There's not going to be, well, you're the starting right fielder last year.
We're not the Wizards.
Yeah, we're not the Steven Silas Rockets, all right? Like, we're going to need you to take some good shots, KPJ. I think that's where the Astros are, where they can give him the at-bats he needs, but I don't think they're going to just let him do it if he has the same year that he had last year.
Yeah, he played 134 games, over 440 at-bats. So they gave him plenty of track to figure things out. And they'll enter the season thinking that same way.
And he had a pretty classic rookie season, except for the never playing minor leagues part. But pretty classic where he struggled early. He seemed to find his footing and played really well for a stretch. And then he played poorly again. And so he kind of hits that rookie wall, whether that's physically playing 140 games for, I have to imagine, the first time in a summer, or if it's, you know, league has a plan for him, he adjusts, and then the league figures out the adjustment. I think that's part of what's happening with Cam Smith, or what happened last year with him.
He came to be the sixth place in RBI, so Walker, Altuve, Diaz, Peña, Paredes, Cam Smith, of course. Yordan, of course, would have been there, but Yordan wasn't on the field. But, yeah, so I'm interested to see.
At some point, someone has to play right field for, or someone has to play the outfield if they trade Jake Myers. Who's going to play center and right? if it's not going to be Cam Smith and Jake Myers, or neither of them.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Cam Smith's opportunities. He's going to get plenty of them. And
I do feel like it is them just saying, like, we're not giving him a spot.
It's like, yeah.
It's like it's an Ime Udoka move. It's I mean, not that he invented the idea of giving a young player, like, you know, a carrot to chase after.
The version of when Ime is benching Jabari Smith in a close game to play Jeff Green. Back when that happened. Didn't happen anymore, but it did happen for a little bit in his first season here with the Rockets.
Yeah, they pull Shingun
and people would ask questions about it. And, you know, the standard answer was, guys who give me the best chance to win will play.
Yeah.
And just because of who's going to play right field, Cam Smith right now is your best option.
Yeah. And it might be more, I mean, Shepard's played better than Cam has, but it might be this team, this Astros team is more analogous to this Rockets team. Not as far as being top of the league, but just the, you know, we have a spot for one guy to learn on the job. We don't have a spot for five guys to learn on the job, but if there's, you know, a bunch of veterans or a bunch of even just established, because Jeremy Pena, I don't view him as a veteran, but he's an established major league player at this point. Yeah, you got Pena, Altuve, Yordan, Christian Walker, Paredes, Correa in some combination. You know what? There is room for Cam Smith to bat seventh or eighth and be figuring it out.
The depth of this lineup, and they're still trying to add to it, allows for that to happen. Keith, let's get to Keith here before we go to break. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Sean. As you guys know, I'm big into NFL free agent wide receivers. Big news today. Speed Demon, NFL journeyman, 4'3 guy, Brandon Cooks, and the Saints part ways. I think he's still got a little juice left in the tank, especially just as a decoy. You know, there's some wide receiver needy teams out there. Oregon State legend, former Texan as well, former Cowboy.
Yeah.
Where do you see Brandon Cooks landing? You know, when you have that type of world-class speed, you can be on an NFL roster. You know, look at guys like Jamal Agnew, who's still on NFL rosters, and speed guys, you know, so not the best comparison, but if you have speed, you can play in this league.
I thought Keith was going to go with a player whose suspension is up, or just came up this week.
OBJ. He didn't even mention OBJ.
I thought he was going to Odell Beckham. When he mentioned, like, Speed Demon, I was going to say, well, that wasn't, like, 2013. But, yeah, OBJ, also a veteran free agent Keith Wheelhouse guy. I don't know. I don't think the Texans really need.
I don't think he's calling about the Texans strictly.
Okay.
He's generally just, hey, I like
team in the league,
who needs a free agent receiver who can run. He's just going to be a Raven, right? At some point, the Ravens will just pick him up.
Raven, Titan.
Yeah, I mean.
Whatever. I mean, that is Brandon Cooks, well-traveled. It does seem like he's kind of reaching the end of the road.
I don't know that the world-class speed still exists at 32. Sure.
They should make guys run the 40. Maybe not every year, but once you hit 10 years in the league, they should make you run the 40
again. I think
that's
fair. I mean, they don't want to have it happen, but I think
there's nothing good that would ever
come. Yeah, it's not gonna go great for them.
But I would just like to know, yeah, because 4-3 is going to be attached to Brandon Cooks until the day he dies.
Someone on television, if he does wind up on some team, will say he's a 4-3 guy. When he's probably not anymore.
No.
Like Keith was talking about world-class speed. I don't think 30-year-old Brandon Cooks
is world-class.
I mean, he's relatively to the rest of the world world-class. But as far as the athletes he's competing against right now, I don't know that he is a world-class speed guy anymore.
Just imagine, like, next on NFL Network, the draft class of 2015, their 40-yard dash next.
Yeah. I mean, if you want me to care, just throw it in between championship weekend and the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a better Pro Bowl experience. Yeah. Instead, if you want to do Pro Bowl games.
How about this?
Former Pro Bowlers.
Make it one of the dumb Pro Bowl events that they have. Just current Pro Bowlers. Just run the 40.
Yeah. If you were known as fast.
In a bucket hat.
You don't even have to race anyone else for a competition. I know people like that. I don't need that. I need to see you. In fact, it'd just be informational to show how the NFL game changes guys. Like Tyreek Hill, for whatever he was at the time, and still one of the fastest humans to ever play football. But how's the league and injuries? Well, he won't do it because he's had a major injury. But like that.
He's pretty slow now.
Yeah.
I'd say.
But other guys, like Brandon Cooks, bring him out, and let him run and see how fast he is now.
Yeah.
Guys won't agree to that, though.
No, absolutely not.
They'd rather race. They'd race before they would get clocked.
It would kill their free agent chances.
Yeah, Adoree Jackson. Remember him? Really fast?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, 4.3 guy, but if we had the information that's like, actually, he's a 4.65 guy now. Not happening.
Even if he's in the 4.5s, a high 4.4s, he's doing it at like 5.9. So it's not great anymore.
Not great.
Yeah.
Don't love it.
We got ideas, everyone. Just letting you know. You want to make the Pro Bowl experience fun.
Because like Chris Johnson, the old Titans running back, CJ2K, he was like a
4.29,
4.29, 4.28, whatever. I guarantee you he does not run that anymore. No. But we have no information.
He didn't run that in his final years in the NFL.
Yeah. Well,
we just didn't clock him again.
But now he's just like, you know, John Ross.
Yeah, I'm not looking
Xavier
for
Worthy.
Look, I'm not expecting retired guys to be at that level.
Yeah.
But even guys in their 30s who are known for this ability, I would even do,
30th birthday in the NFL. Or when you reach some sort of milestone, like, you know how Lance McCullers reached 10 years of MLB service and there is like a tweet from the Astros about it?
Sure.
You do that with the NFL, where it's like, when you reach 10 years of service in the NFL, you are subject to mandatory 40-yard dash.
It takes
slip that in the next CBA.
It's either that or drug testing. Which one do you want?
Real drug testing.
Yeah.
We won't look the other way.
We'll throw weed back into the mix and see how you like it. Or you can run during Pro Bowl weekend. All right.
Now it's kind of Squid Game.
Well, people watch Squid Game. People don't watch the Pro Bowl.
A lot of people watch, Running Man. Number one, number one TV
this
show
is
in the world.
What we're saying. Hey, Roger, we're right here. Just give us a call. Someone wants to talk about Justin Tucker. Don't see the name. So I can't tell you to hold on. But if you're the person who called in, wanted to talk about, speaking of free agents, just hold on.
Someone say the freest agent.
Well, yeah, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
That movie talk will continue on Friday, 11:30, or around there. Michael Carroll will join us. He is one of the hosts of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee. We will be out at Taquerias Arandas on Friday. Sean and I will be. Sean will get there a little bit later, but we'll be out there. Michael will join us from studio tomorrow, East River 9. The entire station will be out there, so come out there and join us. Sean, before we get to Julian here, that's the name who wants to talk about Justin Tucker, let me ask you something. So I went to HEB a couple days ago, and because we're getting ever closer to Thanksgiving, they broke out some of their prefab Thanksgiving items. So if you go, people who know, I don't want to explain it because everyone, for the most part, has been to HEB. But if you aren't a cook or you just want to be able to warm something else up, you don't want to make from scratch, they have stuff.
Yeah, they have like a pumpkin pie there.
Yeah. In this case, they have like a sweet potato casserole.
Okay.
I'm a yams guy. That's what I eat for Thanksgiving. It's made of the same materials for the most part, but it's just formulated differently. I've come from a southern black family. We're not eating sweet potato casserole. We're having yams. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen in Southern black families. my Southern Black family isn't having sweet potato casserole. Mother, my mother is making yams and mac and cheese and all the other stuff. So they have a sweet potato casserole.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not thought of by a Southern Black family, but whatever, it's there.
I come from a Southern white family. They
sweet potato casserole. Sweet potato casserole. It's just, hey, two Americas or more. Doesn't matter. It's fine either way. Except on my table at Thanksgiving. Keep the sweet potato casserole for HEB when I can buy it the week before. So I bought it just to see how it tastes.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's good. It's for what it is, it's a pretty good product.
Yeah, and it's nice just because there's a lot of savory on your Thanksgiving plate. It's
definitely
a nice sweetener.
It's a nice little change of pace.
Yeah. That's all it is.
So my thought now is because I got lunch. And I generally try to limit my Whataburger intake to once every 2 weeks. So I'm due, is what I'm saying. So it's generally the same order.
Yeah.
Double meat, throw some bacon on, don't have all the fixing on. You take off whatever you want. Meal, fries. I like to go with the shake sometimes.
Okay.
So my question for you is,
yeah,
what are your thoughts on dipping the fries in the sweet potato casserole?
Whoa.
Not in the shake. I know people think, oh, dip it. I know people
that's
dip
where
it in the.
That's where I thought you
were going. I know people do that.
You would have juked me out of my sneakers on that one. I was ready to, love dipping it in a shake. I'm open. I'm open to it. Never, obviously. I've never had French fries on Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, same.
We're a Southern white family, but we're not that kind of Southern white family. I've never had that. And I'm thinking about it. I think it works.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think it would work.
That's my plan because it popped in my head today, considering it's the Whataburger day. And like, you know what? I think dipping the salty fry and the sweetness of the sweet potato with both potatoes in some way.
I mean, it is potato on potato.
It is potato on potato, but who says I can't? I know that might offend, but who says I can't for lunch?
I think that works. I'm good with this.
I'll have a report tomorrow.
Okay.
But I think I've come up with something that's going to work. We'll see.
Yeah. And then on Friday, when we're at Tacker Zarandas, you can be like, hey, guys, have you ever thought of
putting a taco?
Sweet potato.
A sweet potato casserole potato. Dipping for your taco chips?
Nope. Literally never thought of it.
In fact, we've never thought of it. Don't bring that idea in here.
You're not welcome.
Yeah. Ever again. All right. Let's get to Julian. He wants to talk about Justin Tucker. Speaking of not welcome, Justin Tucker. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Jive Turkeys. I'm going to go ahead and channel my inner Keith. So Eddie De Niro is going to be out. He's week to week, and he's definitely going to miss this week. Perfect in field goal tries this year. He has missed 4 extra points. 2 of them have been blocked. Justin Tucker, just for a week. Bring him back. He did what he did. Oh, well. Deshaun got to play again. Also, so Dale, you like yams. So does that include you eating old lady yams? Have a good one.
No. Some people are eaters. Some people aren't. In that case, no. Moving on to Justin Tucker. In that case, no as well. You're not getting Justin Tucker for a week. You're not taking that heat just for a week of football.
That's
what are you talking about?
That you kind of need. I mean, you would need any team would need their kicker to be out a substantial amount of time.
And
they
then
need
like,
to be a competitive team.
Yeah.
That they don't. I mean, I don't know. The Texans went with Matthew Wright.
You are you like taking on Justin Tucker for a chance of him knocking through a 40-yard field goal? Maybe you don't even need him in a fashion where he's kicking a game winner.
Yeah.
Why would you do that for a week? Dealing with that for a week for a kicker. Like you mentioned Deshaun, the Browns' justification was that's a quarterback. We don't have one. That's a franchise changer. That's why they did it. There was a time where I wasn't here. It's been a couple times. I was interviewing for a job in Cleveland. And they asked me, considering I was based here, about Deshaun Watson and their recent acquisition. I said, I get why you did it. I just don't know that he's some franchise changer. I don't think he's the guy you think he is. And this was before the clear fall off.
Yeah, before he played.
Yeah, I watched him here, and he was a good quarterback, but I don't think he was going to, I said it to them. To not the Browns, obviously, but to the radio station to carry the Browns, the guys who were interviewing me. I don't think Deshaun's going to elevate you to contender status. That's not who he is. And clearly, that isn't who he is.
And they're like, get out of my office.
Well, I never actually, it was all through, I never had to actually fly up to Cleveland. At one point, I was going to do a Cleveland show, and because they're a CBS station, I was going to do it in a side studio at 610. Just didn't work out. They went with someone local, which you might imagine would be the case. Less expensive, and the guy's been covering your team in some way for years, so you just go with him. But he was a quarterback. That's why the Browns made the move.
Yeah.
You don't do it for the kicker for a week or two. And you can find someone.
I was going to say, the kicker is this from 49ers Nation, the SB Nation site. They hosted three kickers this week. One of them was on the team last season. Tanner Brown, Anders Carlson, and John Parker Romo. To me, especially for 1 week, there's always going to be an Anders Carlson. There's always going to be a John Parker
that
Romo
you
can go to play one. I mean, if we remember, Matt Amendola, like
a Riley Patterson.
Yeah, to me, like again, you would need a multi-week injury for a contender who I don't know doesn't have any other option or is like, you know what? Let's just do it.
Was not good the last time he was on the NFL roster. Maybe that can all be attributed to the stuff we didn't know about until it came to the light. But he was not good the last time. And no need to do it.
And as far as not being good after things come to light, or in this case, right before things come to light, is it unreasonable to think that that might be why Deshaun kind of sucks now? Is that
it's not unreasonable?
It's like it might believe, just be because everyone looks at him and goes pervert.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past the change in status about how people see you to affect the way you play the game, because the perception of you, and maybe not even the perception, the right way of people to look at you suggest. You're not a great guy, and that has changed the way you approach things. And if you're always worried about what people think of you, don't think that can help you play the game of football in the way you used to. So Justin Tucker, in his final year with the Ravens, 22-30, and he went from a guy who felt like a lock to make 50-yarders. He was 6-for-11, and the year before he's 1-of-5. So in 23 and 24, as this stuff was, I guess, being investigated, and he wouldn't give answers to the journalists who were asking behind the scenes before they made it public. His status as one of the best kickers in the game was faltering. So why would you want a guy who wasn't even good the last time you saw him? And then as the 49ers, you got to be like, yeah, we did it because we needed him for a week. You can go find a guy. Thank you, Julian, for the call.
Yeah, it is like, I do think it is worth talking about, but I just have a hard time like picturing the team what it would be. Contending team, kicker gets hurt for probably the rest of the season. They try out, you know, John Parker Romo, Anders Carlson.
They're all bad.
And they stink.
Yeah.
And then like he has to be like the third call that you make.
Yeah.
For a long term, like you need him for, you know, from Thanksgiving on. Kind of thing. So I don't know, you know, Niners probably not, but I, you know, some other team who's, you know, a kicker gets hurt this week. I could see it. I could see it happening. I just don't think it's likely.
And maybe at some point when you just stop being good at what you do. He's been in the league. He was in the league since 2012.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of the different circumstances. This is completely different circumstances. But some of the Colin Kaepernick thing of you've been out of the league for X amount of years. At this point, like it's not happening. So I do wonder, he is the guy, like you said, been in the league for almost over 15 years.
He was the first year was 2012.
Okay, less than 15 years. And you're thinking like, all right, so he's in his late 30s. Like this is normally when guys tail off anyway. Is it going to happen? Same thing where, like, after year three of being out of the league, I think your chances of getting in drop enormously.
There is an article, of course, there always will be, about teams who could sign him. We'll go to break with that. The Rams are number one on the list. The Falcons, why would they do it? They stink. But they're there. The Packers and then the final team is the Colts, who had Michael Badgley as their kicker filling in for
Schrader,
who got hurt. All right, we'll go to break with that. It's not unique to you, Julian. Other people are talking about it. I would just be surprised if anyone who was trying out a guy just for a week is going to sign Justin Tucker. All right, one more segment to go. We'll get into the Rockets. They got the Cavs tonight. And then we'll close it up with Rich Eisen coming up.
UH giveaway?
Yep, we'll do that. We'll go 11:55. 11:55, caller 3 wins a pair of tickets. Cougs, TCU, senior night. They want you to wear red. Be loud. Get there early. Don't let the TCU purple dominate. It's your final home game of a really good year. You're ranked in the AP. You're ranked in a college football playoff poll. People are acknowledging the Cougs' good year. Yeah. You should as well.
The group of seniors that turned this thing around.
Certainly. Let's honor them as they had to go through a coaching change, stuck with it, and have helped you to a really good year in Willie Fritz's second year. Willie Fritz joins John and Lance as many Tuesdays as he can, bright and early. So if you want to support him and the program, now is your time. Call in, at 11:55, caller 3 gets those tickets. But if you don't get them from us today, you can certainly listen to Jeremy and Joe, but also you can go to uhcougars.com/tickets for tickets just starting at $25. Or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get your tickets today. Come early, be loud, and wear red. Go support the Cougs. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We're about a minute away for people who still want to go see the Cougs versus TCU. Remember, caller 3, 11:55. You get those tickets, so be ready for that. So yesterday, Lane Kiffin was on Pat McAfee. He disputed the claim that he was given an ultimatum to make a decision by the Egg Bowl, whether he was going to stay or not. He did not really give any more information on his job status other than talk about how great it is to be in this spot for Ole Miss, having a chance to go 11-1. We are really on the verge of a potential head coach of a college football playoff team having to either be told you can't coach your team in the playoff or choosing not to. It would be the first time, because generally teams don't lose their coach when they're having this type of year. Ole Miss is in a unique spot, never will be the top job in the SEC, and we just have giant job openings around the country. Two of them happen to be in the SEC, where despite Florida struggles and people not liking Brian Kelly at LSU, those jobs are looked at as bigger jobs. And Ole Miss is just I won't say the victim, they'll be fine, but they're just taking on this because of those jobs. Do I think he coaches? I'm on the verge of saying they tell him they won't fire him. Yeah. They won't tell him to leave. But
would happen is that he leaves before
he just would. He just wouldn't coach in the playoffs.
Yes. Or he stays.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way
that he's just removed from
Lane Kiffin is removed, yeah, or he's allowed to coach to finish the job. I don't think they would let that happen. So we are really close to that happening for the first time. Now, it helps that as far as this happening, because it's a 12-team playoff, but it's not like Ole Miss is at the bottom rung of this. They're a top 6 team in the country. Like, I couldn't ever foresee unless they're Cincinnati or something. Maybe it was at the time, a non-Power 4 school. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening. But SEC guy going into the playoff, leaving.
That's the surprising thing to me, is that it's not. I mean, if it weren't for Lane Kiffin, or if Lane Kiffin had, signed an extension 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
We'd be maybe not at this volume where he's like on McAfee and stuff, but we would be talking about a guy like John Summerall, someone who we've heard from earlier in the show, mm-hmm, where it's like he probably will get another job that is not Tulane. And there's a good chance he does not coach Tulane in the college football playoff.
Or, you know,
or he coaches it with the understanding
that he's gone.
That he's gone. We see that in bowl games from
UCF
time to time.
And Scott Frost, I think, did that, right?
So it wouldn't be as shocking if it were a situation like that, where it's a group of five coach taking an obvious upgrade of job. There is like something like Lane Kiffin will have to play Ole Miss at another time.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's uniquely comfortable with this, given how the Tennessee thing went down when he left Tennessee back in 2008, 2009 range. But there is surprising to me that it's a team that's ranked, what, sixth in the country, fifth in the country, that is in this situation in the SEC. They are upgrade of jobs, but they're not like obvious upgrades.
Yeah, Florida
of
has
jobs.
Had, it's better, particularly historically, the success, but it's not this clear giant thing. And he's proven, maybe uniquely so, that you can win at a pretty big level, high level at Ole Miss. He is the perfect guy to be the trailblazers for this, to maneuver this situation.
Absolutely. That's why we think he might stay.
Yeah.
Is because he does crazy stuff.
I'm surprised by how available he is to be asked these questions, even if he dances around them while this is going on. All right, we're done. That music means we're done. And since we're done for the day, Sean, what does it mean? Well, we'll see.
I didn't want to do Shred'em.
He's back at practice, at least.
He is back. Shred'em and practice.
Yes, he at least back at practice, but won't play tomorrow. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Talk more Texans. We'll talk about the Rockets. They got the Cavs. We'll see how that goes. Rich Eisen up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.